Okay, let me get settled here. Can I use my flashlight outside? Because if there's no... Now, there's a little problem here. The problem is that I'm giving the class regularly in Vrindavan, and then I come back here once a month. I'm not quite sure up to, but I'm going to start with text 21. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 16. Text 21. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Takushta mataram apatyam anupravishtam. Although the elderly gopis were feeling just as much distress as she, and were pouring forth a flood of sorrowful tears, they had to forcibly hold back Krishna's mother, whose consciousness was totally absorbed in her son. Standing like corpses with their eyes fixed upon his face, these gopis each took turns recounting the pastimes of the darling of Braja. Om Jnana Timiram Vesya Jnanam Jnana Sarakaya Taksu Mulutam Yena Taishmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Apitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Sapadam Tikam Vancha Kalpa Thiru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Baye Vicha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, Hare. Can you just make it happen?
Something else. 1 second, I'm just trying to get myself. Just get me a top piece of cloth in that thing.
Yeah, that's Greetings from Govardhan. I came out here 2 nights ago to attend the end of the Japa Kirtan retreat. And it's quite, you know, right now I'm sitting in this place in Govardhan that I have. It's lifetime use. I mean, it's not mine legally, but there's more faith in Krishna than the law. Don't tell me what that means, and don't quote that. Don't quote that either. But it's something sitting in front of Govardhan. I mean, the whole thing with the Dham is it facilitates remembrance of Krishna. Even when it gets covered by urbanization, I think it's called Proto Maya, a little veil of sometimes sewage and plastic bags and loud people and loudspeakers. This is the wedding season. People don't have weddings during Chaturmasi because they don't want to wake up Vishnu. So after Chaturmasi, they wake up everyone else. But beyond that, you know, it's such an inspiration and nourishment to spiritual life. But Govardhan, it's, you're just facing this huge Krishna, largest Krishna deity in the world. So anyway, I came out here for that kirtan, and we went to, I'm in Dandati, which is the neck of Govardhan, very beautiful darshan of Govardhan. But on the other side of Govardhan, I'm on the eastern side, I guess, on the western side. What? This is the eastern side. Yeah. I'm on the eastern side. On the western side of Govardhan, there's a place called Jatipura. It takes, if I follow the kirtan path, it takes about an hour and a half to walk there. If I go the other side, I go counterclockwise, it takes me about 40 minutes. And Jatipura is like a little city on Govardhan. There's Govardhan City, and then there's Jatipura City, and then there's Radhakun City. Little towns. And Jatipura is a place of Madhavendrapuri. And they hold the retreat at one ashram. The nice part about the ashram, there's one side of the ashram, or they hold it at a kind of a big dhamshala, like 50, 100 rooms, I don't know. But one side of the dhamshala is open, and that's Govardhan Hill. So whatever, you know, whatever's lacking in the other facilities, but you just, you know, one side of the ashram, it's like an, you know, there's three, you know, when you come in, you come to a little door and there's one and two sides. And the far side is just completely open, and that's Govardhan Hill. What is like the chant on the roof, right next to Govardhan Hill. It's inspirational. But they hold the retreat right next door. There's just a garden. Trees, and there's one space where they have a pandal, a tent, very nicely done. Can hold a couple of hundred people, but very nicely done, soft cushions. And the side also is open to Govardhan Hill. So when they're having a kirtan, you're facing Govardhan Hill. That's the 12-hour kirtan. And what you see is basically you see the forest, and you look on the top, and you see the Giriraj. So I attended the kirtans like I do in New York. And I think I had kind of like a realization. At the end, they have it inside. They have a very nice hall that's made up to be a very, very beautiful temple, actually. Beautiful altar with so many deities and Giriraj. And so I attended the kirtan, 12 hours. So at 5 o'clock, it shifts by Harinam into the inside hall. They don't hold it outside. And then Akinchana Krishna, Nam Ras, and Amala Karana were doing that kirtan, and then someone else was good. Then they had these vasis from Barsana. And Gaharvan, Radharani's forest. And the people there, it's just a beautiful Krishna consciousness. It's people that are married in the world, kind of. You know, there's no pretension about them. And what you see is a very beautiful thing. There's none of this static in their minds. And they brought along what they called these two gopis, because these girls, one was 18 and one was 13, they grow up as gopis. They grow up that Radharani is in their village, and it's such a, it's, I think it's one of the most pious births. What I understand, these young girls, I think even in English, I'm not sure, they travel around the world and give Bhagavad Gita. And there's one person that did kirtan with them. He was like a huge man. And wow, I mean, simple melodies, but just wow. And then Satchinandana led, and that was the end of it for about an hour and a half. And by the end, the absorption was so intense. The absorption was, and what is the absorption means? You forget about your attachments, you forget about your inhibitions, and you raise your hands in the air and you give your heart to Krishna. And that is the highest form of yoga, because the highest form of yoga is samadhi, at least I guess rasa samadhi. We were just focused on Krishna and we got it. We absorbed. We had some cognition of God. And we're not concerned about everything else that goes on that distracts us from the absolute reality. So I was feeling a little bit at the end, you know, I'm giving myself to God. And from the heart. And if the heart is given to God, then the consciousness is given to God. That's why bhakti is the highest yoga. If you give your heart, then your consciousness is given. So just from a yogic standpoint, and to look around the room, it is 150 people in the same mood. I don't think there can be one person yet. And I was even looking around at people that I normally wouldn't expect to be so spontaneous, kind of youthful. Some older people that were youthful, playful. Usually we're not playful, we're calculating, mental, anxiety ridden, at our best. We're not playful. We're not acting out of love. So actually, it's Vrindavasi, beautiful man. I mean, he looked like he was, I don't know how tall he was, but he looked 6'3 or something. He was a big Vrindavasi man. And, you know, he described Satchinandana Swami, and I think he was younger than Satchinandana Swami, but he's like a child. He said, but that's good because Krishna likes children. So how to become childlike in Krishna consciousness? And get over all our static. Anyway, it's not easy. Because we have our whatever it is, our prarabdha karma sometimes, or whatever it is. But this is the way. Nam Kirtan. It's a beautiful process. And Borijan Prabhu, who I think is not carried away by sentiment. He's got a very, very good heart. But he's got such a cool brain. And he was just perceiving this level of absorption in kirtan and watching Amala Paran lead kirtan these young people who are just absorbed. Nam Ras. He's matured so nicely, you know. Actually, when it came to the Krishna hymn and then came, it wasn't a Western kirtan. It was kind of like a mini Varsana group, you know. They're giving them that 24-hour kirtan. They have a certain culture and dignity about them in leading kirtan. And I'm not sure. Boy John said something. It's almost like they're poised to take over the world by kirtan. You know, with coming from him, that was something kind of special. We're poised, something. I said, what? Poised? You know, I understood, because it's so powerful and it's already happening to a certain degree. People are maturing. And the youth are growing up into special souls that the world hasn't really seen before. young people that are selfless. And some of them are. They've learned that kirtan culture. There was one lady I know at the kirtan retreat. I didn't know, but she comes to my classes in Vrindavan. She may have visited Devanagari once. I met her. And I know she's a disciple of Satchinanda Swami. She told me that, you know, before she went back to the West, she, you know, consulted with him. What she was talking about is that she was a rock singer. I wouldn't have known. But the chanting for fame, you know, how to get rid of the chanting. So she had a nice discussion with Satchinanda Swami. But I thought that's the difference between the Nam Ras Amala Purana, Akinchana Krishna, Ananta Chita, you know, John, you know, you go on. There's a difference. But they don't chant the same. And that's what Prabhupada put in the heart, his bhakti. They don't chant the same. And it's, when someone's like that, it's a whole different quality of chanting. And it has a whole different effect. And it's going to be easier for young people that grew up at an early age that don't have the the samskaras to do that. Although there are there's no young or old. You know, people came to the movement at 20, they just continuing from a past life in a very, very high place. There are some people like that relatively pure life. But in general, you're more likely to find that among the youth. And without that samskara trained in kirtan, trinada, peace, and uchinadi, contributing to the overall effect. And the way they do it is so beautiful. One leads and another plays the Nadanga, and then someone else is playing the Nadanga leads, and that guy. So each one is played the Nadanga, the cartels are led, and they switch off. And but these people from Varsana, I've just seen it in that area, generally disciples of Ramesh Baba. It's nice, they grow up in houses below this hill and on the hill. With this saint and they're doing. And then every day there's kirtan and katha. And they don't have faith in the world. They have faith in Krishna. It's not the aspiration of a lot of these Brahmins, not Brahmins, just these, a lot of these people. They may do something, I've seen it. But that's the second, the aspiration is just that. Give your heart to Krishna. That's a wonderful thing. And that relates to the story today in the Govinda, the Kaliya Leela. And the point I've been trying to present about this is that this gives a reasonable conception of reality. At the highest level, it's full absorption. It's not a... Everybody says it's yoga. It's a control of the mind. It's an absorption. It's not this kind of static thing that we all suffer from. It's an absorption. And it's an absorption out of love. This is the highest absorption. Because you have an attachment to the object of your meditation. So I described that very nice concept of this absolute reality with a sense of discrimination, distinction for the expression of love, facilitated by a Shakti, a potency that creates situations or circumstances for the exchange of love. And it's such a beautiful thing here. And if you know the, you know, Krishna motionless in the serpent, in the serpent. So we're also trying to get a sense when you read Krishna Lila, what do the people feel? And really deep sadhakas, That's their meditation, actually. They not only meditate on Krishna Lila, but they meditate. What is meditating on Krishna Lila? It's not just an external visual narrative. It's personalities that are going through some experience. And they meditate, what is that experience? They get some hints from the Shastras, describe the different feelings of different people. The Shastras describe the different emotions. Udvala Nilamani describes it in detail. It's a very elevated book, maybe not for us. But the concept is there. They study these things, they understand these things, they have a selfless mood of devotion, they have Guru Nishtha, they have compassion, they have a mood of seva, they have a mood of sacrifice, and they have a mood of deep love for Krishna, their minds are controlled, they meditate on the pastimes, and then they're thinking, what is that person thinking? What's in his mind? Because I want to have that mind. So we look here, and it's a beautiful thing. Krishna is motionless. What is in their mind? And then when they find Krishna and they see him in that ghastly thing, what is in their mind? And this explains a bit what's in their minds. Mother Yasoda. Well, previously we had the gopis. What's in their mind is just devastation because their life is Krishna. Without Krishna, there's no life. And they try to give some sense of it. It's burning torment. And then here in this verse, we have the elderly gopis. What does the mother feel when her child is being killed? And what does it speak when your child is Krishna? Because you can love your child. Prabhupada gave the example that there's a blind child and the mother loves the child and names him Padmalocha and notice that. So there's always that sense of subjectivity. But love of Krishna is subjectivity and objectivity. It's from your heart, but he actually is more than what you feel. He's so beautiful and loving. And he's in those coils. And so here, this is an incredible verse. Mother Yasoda wants to run into the water, and she stopped. By elderly gopis who love Mother Yasoda as much as they love they love Krishna as much as they love Mother Yasoda, and they love Mother Yasoda as much as they love Krishna. There's no difference. That's Udipat. They love the devotees who love Krishna the way they love Krishna. And then they stop her, and they try to pacify her. And then by Vraja Lila Kata, by the Kata of Vraja Priya Kata, of the darling of Krishna. So again, what is it like to hear that kata, that level of love for Krishna, and they're recounting the pastimes of Krishna killing Putana. So in the spiritual world, there's kirtan, there's kata, there's seva, there's darshan, there's living in Vrindavan. You're immersed in all the angas of bhakti, but not as a practice to attain Krishna, as a spontaneous manifestation of your heart. So, and then it's described that their meditation is totally absorbed. They have very steady electricity here in Govardhan. It goes off every day at 6:15. So this class is 6:30 in the morning. So I have an inverter, I have electricity, but I don't have the kind of the light where I want, because it's nice to have a little access here to the text describing their absorption. Wow, Suchaha, floods of sorrow. Spilling forth, tata, each of them, floods of sorrow, spilling forth. And what's that flood of sorrow? It's the love of their heart coming out and being churned by a particular emotion. It's just sorrow, sadness, distress. And that emotion is just drawing out like a flood, love in your heart for Krishna. And the anupadishtam, too, they're equally fixing their consciousness, those ladies and Mother Yasoda, on Krishna. They're pain, they're also pain, and they stood Krishnane onto the face of Krishna. Their eyes are offering, they're looking, and mitika, they're resembling corpses. Corpses are dead, they don't move. There's no motion. They're so fixed, there's no motion. So what is that level of absorption here? And again, there's various bhavas. Circumstances create emotion. And it's like a mixture of the appropriate emotions to create the rati, or the affection of Krishna, to the level of rati, the highest sentiment of divine love. Lord Balaram then saw that Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men who had dedicated their very lives to Krishna were beginning to enter the serpent's life. So their Krishna prana, the man whose very life and soul was Krishna, they're going to enter the water. There's no question of their own self-interest. And they're willing to make sacrifice for God. And we see that here in this world. One who is advanced, they're willing to sacrifice. And the history of the Krishna consciousness movement, we think of great souls, and they give everything. They don't care about their health, anything. They give themselves fully. And it's not everyone. But we do know souls that they've given their life to Krishna through Guru. And they're willing to sacrifice their life. When I think of this, I always tell the story of my uncle, Rabbi Alexander Good, who was a chaplain on the USS Dorchester, which was U-2 bombed by the submarines. The ship sunk, was sinking. The chaplains went into action to give the counsel and people with realization, the eternality of the soul can deal with others that are on the bodily platform. And what happened is there weren't enough lifeboats, or, somehow the practice wasn't there, wasn't enough lifeboats. They were going in, this is off of the coast of Greenland, where the water was freezing, I read a book on it. It was horrible, like some of the lifeboats had too many people, and other people couldn't get on. But people did survive. And there's a book on it that my mother has. My mother goes to different functions because that was her cousin, and she's honored and speaks at different functions about the chaplains. And in West Point, there's a chapel dedicated to them with stained glass. They're very, this stamp. And they were getting everyone else off the ship. And then one man who survived because he had these gloves, and he ran out. And I don't know what the thing is, but you need the gloves to survive. It's something like something that they, I don't know what it is, but he ran out. He's a young man, 19. He was freaking out, and he said, "I left my gloves back." And my uncle said to him, "You can take mine." He said, "How can I take yours, Rabbi?" And he said, "I have another pair." And then that person survived, and then he realized that my uncle gave him his gloves. And then when the ship was sinking, some people who survived
saw the four chaplains, like, in arm in arm, singing the Psalms of David. You know, and I'm a big proponent of substance ultimately being higher than allegiance. You may belong to a group that has a higher connection with the absolute truth, but another person may be connected more because he's plugged in. And, you know, so you see, you know, they have, what is that realization of the soul? And then, you know, when I'm in an audience, I often joke, you know, that if I was there, you know, I would jump in the lifeboat and say, you know, only Prabhupada disciples, or, you know, this is the sannyasis only. You know, I would, you know, go back to my room and get my gloves. We have to be humble. What would you be like in that circumstance? Would you be willing to sacrifice our life for God? And sacrificing our life for God means doing what He wants, following the principle of following a principle, even if that principle means to sacrifice your life. In that regard, let me give a little glory to Jayadeva Swami. Because I always see in every circumstance, I really appreciate that, you know, him die for the truth. You know, there are people like that. Faith. And what is faith? Faith is Krishna will do its best if I follow his will. You know, so, I mean, you know, so many people through history have given up their lives. So they're like this. The whole Vrindavan is like that. You got 100% people that are willing to give up their life for God, willing to run in that water. But Balaram, who is, I'm glad I spoke about this before because it would have been impossible without this. Balaram, as he described here as Bhagavan, he's all powerful. Bhagavan is all powerful. And therefore, he knows that Krishna is going to be saved. They shouldn't go in the water. And then he stops people by just looking at them, by physically holding them, and by verbally speaking to them. So that's also a scene. Balaram goes, they're running, he just gives a stare, and they stop. We need people like that, too, that are powerful. They just give you a look. Your throat speaks. So now, the Lord remained for some time within the coils of the serpent, imitating the behavior of ordinary mortal. When he understood that the women, children, and other residents of his village of Gokul were in acute distress, because of their love for him, their only shelter and goal of life, he immediately rose up from the bonds of a colored serpent. So, this is what Krishna understands about those types of devotees that you have to become. Swagokulam, his own community. There's mamata, intimate relationship. They have a sense of possessiveness with God. Not that they just belong to God, but God is theirs. God is their friend. God is their lover. God is their child. It's an intimacy. We're in awe and reverence. You have some sense, my Lord, but it's more that I belong to them. Mamata indicates, and that's Ragatmaka Bhakti, that's Raganuga Bhakti. A very, very deep sense of intimacy. And so, Ananya Dittim. And what is he observing? He's their Dittim. He's their shelter. And there's no other shelter. Again, this is what really, what is our shelter? Boyajan gives an interesting test. When you're really in distress, what do? You go on Facebook,
You go to the refrigerator. Some grocer activity. What do you do? Well, a devotee, he chants Hare Krishna, takes shelter of Krishna. What is your shelter? And that, shelter is where you're protected. And what's the greatest protection that you need? You need enough love in your heart, because without that you die, whether or not you have a roof over your head, where you have all the money in the world, where you have the most beautiful women in the world. Whatever your goal, whether you're the highest position, without love in your heart, you die. So that's shelter. You need the proper object of love. I've said this many times. It has to be real. It has to be eternal. So that's their shelter. And it's narrowly lived. So they have a conception he's just like us, that he could die. But there's nothing else in it, but that relationship is all they need to live. We have Raghunath Das Goswami on the bank of the Radha Kund at the end of his life, just chanting the name. He wasn't even eating. All he wants is that love. That's what we need. Everything else is secondary. Sometimes important, but secondary. That's what we need. We need love of Krishna. And without that, there's going to be a lacking in our heart. So they have that. That's a Nanya Gatim. They have no other goal. That's it. And he realizes that. And he realizes that they are Duk Itam Ati. Ati means to the highest degree. It's extreme. Extremely, Ati means the highest degree. There's Maharaka, there's Ati Rata. Maharaka can fight with 1,000. Ati Rata, like Arjuna, alone could fight a whole army with his Brahmastra. Ati Dukatam, the stress was unlimited. Because of their luck, and because he's their only shelter, and it's going to be gone, there's no distress that is greater than the distress they were feeling. I had a sense of comedy. There's one comedian just goes like that, is that what's bothering you? Did you go to the temple in Vrindavan in the middle of the winter and your mom just sent you a good pair of wool socks and the jari after offering the waters to Krishna spills it on the floor? You step in it. The water in the cold winter, Did a junior devotee come before you and get the ghee lamp, and even though you've been around for 20 years, and is that what's bothering you? Well, this is what's bothering them. This is real. He rose up, and therefore he rose up, and that's the real Shakti. It's such a beautiful concept that there's a potency that God and gives full independence to arrange circumstances and situations to invoke love. Full. And therefore, the Leela Shakti kept Krishna limp in the coils. And then, when the mood of separation that Krishna will die rose to the highest Ati Dukatam, the highest distress, at that moment, Krishna has to break out. And that's like Lord Chaitanya in the Gambhira. He's in separation from Krishna to the highest degree. And when it's just about to kill him, then Sarup Damodar will sing songs of that bring him into the sense of union with Krishna. And Ramananda Roy will do katha of Radha and Krishna meeting. And then when that's reached to the highest level by the sense of union, then separation will happen again.
And I think the analogy or the metaphor that Srila Gauravinda Maharaj gave is the best, is the prema like a river that needs these two indentments to flow. So we have this flow of prema or love coming from the heart so intensely. It's so wonderful. So wonderful, so nice. Okay, we have time for one more verse. I started so early. Now, same thing. Now there's the kind of the joy of Krishna's, from motionless, he becomes motionful. I think I just made up a word. What are the words? Motionful. Motionless, motionful. He begins to dance. And it's, you know, a moving stage because it's the hoods of the serpent. So not only is he not the bard, he's the most excellent dancer. So you may think of someone who dances beautifully. You know. But he's the supreme dancer and he's dancing. So what's in their mind when they're seeing Krishna dance? So he expands, he breaks from the coils of the serpent. Then the serpent becomes angry. There's pots of poison in his nostrils. His tongue is bifurcating. And his bifurcated tongue, he's licking fiery eyes. I was giving class the other day, and if people know how I give class, especially in Vrindavan, that if you watch the Johnny Carson show, he had Ed McMahon. So I have to have someone in the audience who's kind of a supporting person. So it used to be Dadu for so many years. And Dadu was great, if you remember Dadu. Dadu would quote Milton, Paradise Lost. He'd give references from the Charlie Chaplin films that he used to love. And sometimes he would become angry on a particular point if it wasn't, he felt right. It was just beautiful. So I can't say it's like that, but there's one god brother, and he sits in the back, and he grew up in Little Italy. In fact, you know where the Beach Street Temple was? He grew up on that block. I gave him a gift of the Boom Street Temple T-shirt. A very nice devotee, but he's pure Italian. And he's my age. He's born in 1950. So sometimes in my classes, I may give a reference or a joke from something in the 60s that no one else in the audience, none of the people from Kazakhstan, Russia or New Zealand would understand. So anyway, you'd have to see the scene. But so one brahmachari raises his hand, you know, because I'm talking about the fiery brand of the snake. He said, but the snake is cold-blooded. Yeah, I don't know, you know, but the snake is cold-blooded. This is Bhairav. There's nothing more fearful than a snake. Why? Because it has envy in the heart that manifests in the ability to kill you for no reason. So, of course, I had joked with Arjuna, an Italian. You know, I said, hey, Arjuna, you know a lot of guys like that when you grew up, right? Right? And the example, I said, yeah, I said, just like, there's a guy, he's really cool, but then, boom! You know, get a vision of those killers, right? They walk in, they're real cool. You know, and they just take out their gun and boom. So, like that, the snake. You get the manifestation. And therefore, when he's killed, the lifesavers is compassionate. Why? Because the contamination is destroyed by anger. People who have that level of envy, that they are willing to usurp rights of others and the life of others because it is
overlapping with their desires, the person may have the money or the power that you want. That type of contamination that comes out, not just in the heart, but comes out in violence, then it's purified by righteous anger. It purifies. And sometimes that righteous anger comes from Krishna in the form of karma, in the form of time. Okay. Anybody like to ask a question? Or say hello. I want to make sure that my call wasn't dropped. No, it wasn't. Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Rajarade.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Rajarade. Hare Bo. Thank you. Got your letter, responded. That's okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Never mind, it's Rati Krishna.
People always... Okay, Rati, thanks. Rati, just email me your phone number. I just call you for a second after the class, okay?
Okay.
Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we'll end for today. Bunchy call for today. You suck. I'll continue the